Good to see each and every one of you on this beautiful Sunday. And today I wanted to kick us off by sharing something with you guys that I believe would be of great benefit. And I'm not talking about my money. I don't have enough of that to share with you, but I have something else to share with each and every one of you. And it's actually something that I believe is even of far greater value than money, and something that I believe all of you would likely need to hear today. And that is some really good news. And not just one piece of good news, but two pieces of good news, which makes it great news. And the news I want to share with you is this. First and foremost, you guys need to know that your Heavenly Father, the one who created you, the one that knows the number of hairs on your head, which unless you count your own hair, and I hope you don't do that, no one knows that in here. The one that has created you uniquely with your personality and your gifts and your strengths, He loves you more than you will ever know. Isn't that great news? He absolutely loves you more than you'll ever know. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how what you have done or what you haven't done, He just loves you. And so I know that if we were to pray right now and I were to say amen and we were to leave, that for many of you this morning, just you hearing that, being reminded of that today, is exactly what you needed more than anything else I could say today. But also I have other great news. The other piece of great news that I want to share with you today is not only does your Heavenly Father love you very, very deeply, but this same God that loves you very, very deeply invites you, desires for you to live a life of blessing. Now, let me find out this morning, how many of you are all about some blessing this morning? Any of you like blessing? That's what I thought. I knew this would just completely pique your interest. Now you want to hear what I have to say, right? Yeah, and as I say that, as you start thinking about a life of blessing for you, typically the way this works is you have your as-is state where you're at. You have your dream of where you want to be. And so now your minds are just going everywhere. But here's what I want to ask you to do with me very quickly. I want to ask you to push pause. Okay, push pause for just a minute about just this blessed life and what that looks like for you. And I want to take you back to what we started with in this series a couple weeks ago, where James, the half-brother of Jesus, which, by the way, came to believe his bro was the Savior of the world, the Messiah, and the Creator of all things. That's a pretty cool thing. And he gave his life for his brother. He wrote a letter to another group of Christ followers about 50 years shy of 2,000 years ago. And here's what he had to say to them about a blessed life. James 1:25, look at this with me. But the one who looks into the perfect law, and he's talking about the scripture or the Bible, he says the law of liberty or of freedom, meaning that this Bible, this scripture has principles and truths of freedom and liberation all through it, and perseveres being no hearer who forgets, but a, say the word with me, doer who acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing. So there's a catch, isn't there? There's no catch to the love of God. God loves you. He sent His Son for you. He loves you that much. The catch is that God does desire for you and for myself and for all of us to experience, to live a life of blessing. But according to the half-brother of Jesus, James says, wait a minute. It's all about whether or not you apply, you live out, you do the things that God says in His Scripture we should do. Now, here's what I know about each and every one of us here. I know this about myself. I know about my friends, family. I'm sure it's true about all of us here in differing degrees. But what I know about you is that likely daily or every other day or maybe at least once a week, depending on your personality and just where you sit in the room, we all ask God for blessing, don't we? Some of you in here, you pray for blessing multiple times a day every time you're about to eat something, especially when you eat that big, greasy piece of catfish. Isn't that right? Yeah, and God's like, I'm not going to bless that. That's just awful for you, right? But you ask Him to bless your food. You ask God to bless your spouse if you're married or your significant other. You ask God to bless your kids. You ask God to bless your career, your health, our country, the world. You ask God to bless you. You want God to bless us. But as you look around, and as I look around, one thing we know for certain, especially in our country today, is clearly God has blessed us, hasn't He? He's done a lot of amazing things in our nation. We're a very prosperous nation. We're a healthy nation. We have so many benefits. We have rich people problems. A lot of the world doesn't have the problems we have, right? But we've been blessed immensely. But here's what also is true. In some areas of your lives, maybe one area, maybe multiple areas, what you know is that what James says here is that this liberation, this freedom, this blessing, you're not experiencing that. You actually feel like you're in bondage. You feel like that, yeah, God's blessed in so many other areas, but in this one area, and it's this one area possibly that you pray about all the time. You say, God, bless this area. God, fix this area. God, do this, do that. And what you know is, and what I know is that consistently you feel this tension over something's just not right. You feel like you're in bondage. And the reason why is because your Heavenly Father is saying, you know what? in the areas that I speak to with principles and truths throughout all my scripture, the areas that you do not apply, the areas you do not trust me in, are the areas you're experiencing bondage in. But God says, I invite you to experience my blessing if you will trust me, if you will apply, if you will do what I say you should do in the areas of your financials, in the area of relationships, in the area of your personal well-being, in your walk with God. He says, if you do these things, you will experience blessing. And that's what this entire series, Life Apps, is all about. It's about us backing up, looking at this from a 30,000-foot level, and then also getting very, very granular and looking at our own individual lives and how that we, all of us here, tend to not apply what we know is true. So last week, Eddie Davis, I thought, did a phenomenal job of raising to the surface one of these areas that each and every one of us in here struggle with. Each and every one of us at some time in our lives, possibly now or in the past, and definitely we're going to have this in the future, we've had someone wrong us. They've done something to us to the point to where we feel internally they owe us, as if they took something from us. They've hurt us. And so we carry around inside of us this anger, this bitterness, this grudge that we're holding on to. And what Eddie shared with us last week that is so, so huge is at some point our Heavenly Father looks at us and He says, listen, son or daughter, forgiven people forgive. The grace that has been shown to you, the grace that has been shown to me through Jesus and what He did for you and what He offered for you, something you can never do for yourself, something you can never pay God back for, God says, look to my Son, look to the cross, and just as you have received grace, you are to pour grace out on other people. And what Eddie shared last week was, it's time to forgive. It's time to let go. And here's what's so sad. Is what many of you heard last week and what Eddie shared, whether you watched it online or whether you were here with us, and you heard that and you looked at the scriptures and you said, that's me, I know. Many of you even today, a week later, are still carrying around grudge in your heart, bitterness and anger because you were unwilling to forgive. And what God is saying to you is He says, you want freedom? You want bondage removed? Forgive. Today, I want to shift gears and I want us to go down another path. I want us to talk about another area in our lives that many of us are not applying. And the best way I know to start us off is to share with you a title of a book that I read probably a year or two ago where an individual, an author, who's a business leader and another individual that's involved in meeting and greeting and dealing with a lot of folks, he wrote a book that was entitled this. And this is him speaking about Americans, Running on Empty. Running on empty. You know, they're saying today in our nation that America is filled with a lot of exhausted people. People who are exhausted physically, spiritually, emotionally. Do any of you, does that resonate with anyone here? Okay, yeah, one hand just shot up, about hit the ceiling. Okay, yeah, we are filled with people in our nation today that are absolutely exhausted and overwhelmed. Some of you may even feel like this picture I'll pop up here. And when you're overwhelmed, and if you can't read the quote, it says, sure, I can handle the load, no problem. But this is how you feel, right? Is you just have so much piled on you, and you are exhausted, you're running on empty, you're about tapped out, and you don't have anything left in the tank. It's interesting, a few months ago, there was a survey that was conducted in our nation, and they sent this out to Americans just all over our country, totally different demographic and located all across our nation. And they said, how many of you in the month of March experienced stress? 91% of the people said me. And they said, well, how many of you experienced stress like on a regular basis? They said 77%, over 3 out of 4 people said, that's me. And as they started digging deeper, they said, well, guys, really, what's at the core of your stress? What's at the root level? And a lot of people thought they would say work, and some said that. But do you know the number one reason people said they were just completely stressed out? A lack of rest. And a doctor on CNN last month actually came out and said, the number one American health problem is a lack of sleep. The number one problem in our nation. They said that Americans today are getting 1 hour less per night than what they recommend, which is 8 hours. And if you add all that up in a year, that's 15 days, I'm sorry, of loss of sleep in a year as you miss 1 hour after hour, another hour. And so we feel this, don't we? We're exhausted spiritually, emotionally, physically, and in every way, we're exhausted and we feel overwhelmed. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Probably 4.5 to 5 years ago, I can recall a time where I was really just spent. and I was spent in all those categories. And at the time, I was working in my outside career job. I was a director of customer experience at a local company. I had, my wife was almost due with our fourth child at the time. We have five, for those of you that are our guests. This was our fourth little one. And we were waiting that. And then also, we were starting River City Church. And this church was meeting in my living room and other living rooms across our city. And I remember Melissa and I went out on a date night, thanks to my mom watching our kids every week. And we always tend to find ourselves at Target after our date. And I don't know how many of you have experienced that. But on this particular night, we didn't end up at Target. We ended up at Sam's. And as we went to Sam's, we were walking past the book aisle. And I'm the type of person, I love to read, so any store that has a book aisle, I will go find it. And I'll go see what they have, even if I don't buy anything. But as we were walking past the book aisle, I looked over and I saw on the bookshelf this book. And I'll put a picture up here. The 4-Hour Workweek. And I made a beeline straight to that book. And this book is written by a guy by the name of Timothy Ferris. And Timothy tells his story about what sent him down this path. But to cut to the chase as to really what drew me to this book were two main things. One, as you can see, it's the title, 4-Hour Workweek. Some of us in here are thinking, if I could just get 40 hours of work, that would be great, right? Much less four. But he says the 4-Hour Workweek. That completely intrigued me. The second thing that really caught my attention was these two palm trees with some dude laid up in a hammock, possibly sipping on a piña colada, okay? And I started thinking about Hawaii, and I started thinking about all that other stuff. And it drew me to this book. And so I went, I picked the book up. As you can tell, I bought it. I read part of it. It's a pretty good book. And so I took the book with me. Now, when you see pictures like this, when I see pictures like this, there's something about that that just kind of draws us going, oh, I would love to have that, right? And not just us in this room. Over 2 million people have purchased this book. This book is translated in 32 different languages. So people all over the world want to read what's in this book. This book is the third most highlighted book on Kindle with Amazon out of all of the books that are published in our country and actually in the world. Because people today are overwhelmed. Well, let me share some good news with you today. Your Heavenly Father, the one who loves you more than you'll ever know, the one who wants you to live a life of blessing and to experience freedom and joy, 3,400 years ago, told a group of people that he was in relationship with, the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, he shared a commandment with them. And here's what he said, "Thou shalt take a day off." He's saying, I love you. I want the best for you. Thou shalt take a day off. You know, you look to where we are today, and many of you, if you were honest, you don't do that very well. Some of us do that probably a little too well, and that's another message for another day. And we'll talk about work another day, okay? But that's what your Heavenly Father said. And for some of you in the room, those of you that you know this is a weak spot for you, this is an area for you that you struggle in, you're right now, you're pushing back, you're going, oh, but Jonathan, you... Back then, to take a day off was easy for those folks. 3,400 years ago, I mean, what did they have to do, right? Well, actually, what I want to do this morning is I want to take you back in time, 3,400 years ago, and I want to take you to this circumstance and the situations and this people group who God shared this commandment with, and I want to give you a little more of the backstory and a little more insight and understanding that was relevant to them to their day, and I believe absolutely transcends to our day today. This story and this command that was given by God to these people took place with the children of Israel when they had left or they exited Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. This is captured in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn over to the book of Exodus and chapter 20 specifically. But God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He rescued them. Then he ended up, within just a few days or a week or so, providing manna from heaven or their daily bread each and every day because these folks had nothing and no way to provide for themselves. And after 3 months of traveling, after 3 months of wandering, if you will, they made their way to Mount Sinai. And when they arrived at Mount Sinai, God called Moses to go up into the mountain. And God gave him what we know today are called the Ten, what? Commandments. And so Moses came down and he had these 10 commandments from God. Now here's what's interesting. The first commandment was where God says, I am the only God and you're to have no other gods but me. So God said, I'm it. All the other gods are fake. I'm the real deal. The second commandment God gave is God said, you're not to use or take my name in vain. I am not just, you know, your little friend or whatever. You treat me with respect. I am your God. And then the third commandment is the commandment we're going to look at this morning. But here's what's intriguing. This commandment has more description and has more words associated with what to do and how to apply this commandment than all the other 10 commandments. And it also comes before the commandment of adultery, not to commit adultery, not to murder, and not to steal. It's pretty interesting just the order in which this commandment falls. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, I want to just share with you what Moses shared with these individuals on that day. And here's what he said. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the word Sabbath is a noun. It's derived from a verb that means to not work, to rest. So what God said is, you're to take a Sabbath. You're to rest. And for them specifically, this was the seventh day of the week. This was on a Saturday. Look with me in verse 9. He describes what this looks like. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to God, your God. So here these folks were. They were nomads. They were traveling around. They had these two guys leading them, Moses and Aaron. They were making their way across the wilderness, trying to go to the promised land where God was going to deliver them and they were going to have the land flowing with milk and honey. And then they take a pit stop over at Mount Sinai. Moses goes up into the mountain, comes back down. He starts issuing these commandments. And commandment number 3 was this. Hey, guys, listen. On the seventh day of the week, you're to take a Sabbath. You're to not work. Now, for them, just so that you know, this was a big, big deal. And the reason why this was such a big deal was for them, everything was hand to mouth. If you didn't work, you didn't survive, you didn't eat. This is what they were used to when they were enslaved in Egypt. This is what they were even going to see years later in the Promised Land as they established themselves. And here God is saying to them, take a day off. Do not in any way work. Now here's why this is a tense thing. This is why this is a struggle. What they dealt with back then, just like what we deal with today, is this. We all want security, don't we? Let me just find out. Any of you like security just a little bit? Money in the bank, food in the pantry? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Okay. All right. They were the same way. So the way that we feel, the way that we think, the way that we believe, just like they did back then, is that I must continue to make progress towards security. That as I make progress and I get to a point where I have margin or I have extra, then I can feel secure, then I will rest. But when these individuals were told this commandment, they didn't have anything. These guys were homeless. They were without a nation. They were without everything. And God said, I want for you to take a day off and to rest. You know, the same is true for you today. In different areas of your lives, just like in mine, there is a place where you feel that you have to continue over and over and over again trying to achieve and make progress for the sake of security. A lot of you feel this in your careers. You feel like that you've got to work really, 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 really hard to get to a position, whether it's the way people perceive you or whether it's a financial position or a title or something which you perceive to be security. And then you feel like, okay, at that point, then I can rest. For others of you, it's just financial. It's a certain number in the bank. It's a certain number in savings or retirement or whatever. And it's what fuels you. It's what drives you. It's in all of us, isn't it? You want that security, just as they did. But the commandment God was making was not just about rest physically. It was about rest spiritually. It was what God was saying was, is that one day a week, I want for this to be your heart. Father, What is done is done, and what is undone, and I trust you with it. Father, I believe and I trust that you can do more with my 6 days of work than I can do with 7. I trust you with my security. You see, what God wanted for these people to experience, what God wanted for them to experience then and also years later when they were under kings and they had money and they were powerful and secure and all those things, what God wanted them to experience was more than anything was a trust and a reliance and a dependence upon Him. And so He said, here's the best way I know to get you to do that. Take a day off and rest. Now, one of the lies that a lot of us in here, I think, believe is that when you rest, when you take a day off, that you're not making progress, right? Because, I mean, how can you? You're just chilling. You're laid up on a hammock between palm trees, which really sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. But you inside, you grapple with that if I rest, if I just put it in the rhythm of my schedule to take off and take a Sabbath once a week and I do not do any work for 24 hours, then I won't be making progress. But you know, that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Because what I love about what God says here at the end of verse 9 and 10, where he says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to God, your God," is there is so much progress made when we take a day off in so many ways. In one way, the way that progress is revealed and the way progress is seen is your trust in your Heavenly Father grows. Your intimacy and your relationship with your Heavenly Father increases when you are not trying to make progress over here for security. When you rest and rely and completely trust Him with everything, your trust, your intimacy, your relationship with Him grows because your faith is placed in Him, not on what you could be doing to find security. For those of us that are married or have relationships that we're involved in, when you rest, you create margin for you to enjoy those relationships, don't you? When those of us that have children, you're able to create and foster a better family life in your home. Physically, you get that sleep you need, you get better, don't you? You become more creative when you go back to work. Your mind seems to be firing on all cylinders. You're more innovative. You're rested. You're not as stressed. You see, God knows what He's doing. And He says, "I love you. I want you to experience a blessed life. Trust me and take a day off." Now here's what's intriguing. Marcus Buckingham, he writes a lot of leadership books and all this stuff. A number of years ago, he interviewed children. He went to these kids and he says, "Hey kids, what is the number one thing that you want from your parents?" And what many of us have heard in the past and what even I'm sure he believed they would say was T-I-M-E, right? Time. It's not what they said. The number one thing that these kids said was this: "I want a rested, energized, and less stressed mom and dad." You see, when you take a day off and you take a Sabbath and you rest and trust in God, what God does is He makes you a better you. You become a better dad to your children or a mom. You become a better friend. You become a better employee. You become a better child of God. You become a better friend and just individual. And what children and what all of us really want is we want the best from the other person they can offer. And God knows that. And God said, "That's why you need to trust me. That's why you need to take a day off." I love how God finishes His commandment. It's brilliant. In Exodus 20, 10b, the last part of 10, in verse 11, look at what He says. He's closing up all the loopholes for us in our trying to find a loophole in our theology. He says, "Don't do any work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals, not even the foreign guests visiting in your town." Okay? See, He knows how we are. It's like, okay, well, delegate to elevate, right? I'm going to outsource this. So on my Sabbath, I'm just going to have other people doing stuff for me. And believe it or not, back when they actually were settled in Israel, they tried to get people to do things outside the city gates as if they were getting around this thing with God. God was spelling this out. He says, no. Because when you're doing that, you're still trying to make progress. Yeah, you're not physically typing on the keyboard, making the phone calls, but you're still not trusting me. So he really kind of seals that deal up. And listen how he continues. He says, here's the reason why. "In 6 days, God made heaven, earth, and sea, everything in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day. He set it apart as a holy day." God says, "Listen, guys, I know how you are. You have this desire to stay in control, to not trust, to not rest. And I'm just going to tell you every little loophole, I know what they are. Don't do it. Quit trying to make progress. Rest and trust in me." And here's the reason why. Because I am the source of all things. I created everything that you worry about. Everything you're trying to find security in. I created you. I created your spouse. I created all these other people. I created economy. I created the weather. I created all of it. Trust me. And he says, and this day should be a holy day. You know, the day holy, or the word holy, means set apart. That means that out of all the full week, the 7 days, 6 days are all set apart for work. This day is set apart for itself. And it's a day of trust and worship with you and your Heavenly Father. Now today, what does that look like? Well, we know that the Sabbath was something that was fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross. He fulfilled everything in the law and everything was taken care of. And the scripture also says that every day is holy unto the Lord. So are we locked down to a Saturday Sabbath? No. But the principle still applies to today. It could be any day. For myself personally, I take Tuesdays off. That seems to work best for me and what I do and just how things flow here at River City Church. But it could be any day. But whatever day that is, what God is saying and what God desires for you to do and for me to do is for us to take a day off and rest. Now, this is a principle. This is a truth that is not neutral. You can either apply this and live it out and get your life back, or you can continue to ignore it and keep doing what you're doing and not rest and trust in God and feel like you're surviving. And my bet is, everyone in here, you like the idea of thriving over surviving, don't you? We all do. And your God says, this is part of what you need to do to move into that place in your life. Now, here's what I also recognize. There are some of you here that I don't work in your industry. You may be in sales, you may be in ops, you may be a stay-at-home mom. It goes all the way across the spectrum. I realize that. And you're saying, yeah, but what does this look like? And you have your pushback, and I get that. Some of you are saying, well, yeah, Jonathan, but if I don't do this, my job won't let me, and I won't hit my sales quotas and all those types of things. And I get it. But let me just share an example with you that I think is huge. And it really goes against just business sense. It goes against anything you would think would anyone should do. But there is the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy. Good old Truett. And he, years and years and years ago, when he started Chick-fil-A, he decided that he was going to exercise this principle, this truth of taking a Sabbath, of not pursuing progress, just relaxing, chilling, and so forth. And what day of the week did he pick? Everybody help me. The one day that you want Chick-fil-A the most. Isn't that right? Sunday. I mean, a peach milkshake's about to be out, and we could have one this afternoon. But he just shuts down shop. Now, if you think about it from a business perspective, does that make any sense at all? No. No way. All the church folks, man, they would love some chicken on Sunday afternoon. He can make tons of money. But if you step back and you look at how they have grown, how that company and their profits have looked, and how God's hand continues to stay on that business, isn't it pretty clear that God is blessing that business because they are instituting the principle of the Sabbath? Now, they're not even doing it on Saturday. They're doing it on Sunday. And again, it just shows the heart of it is God wants you to trust Him for your security and rest in that. So this morning, here's my challenge for each of you as we get ready to pray and we get ready to enjoy the rest of our afternoon. Are you willing for the next 30 days, we're getting ready, getting close to heading into the month of June, to pick one day a week where you make a covenant between you and your Heavenly Father and you say, God, as much as this is going to give me some fits, I will not work on that day. I'm going to trust you with the 6 days of what I have done, that you're going to take care of my progress and my security, and I will not work. No matter what, I will not work. I'll trust you. Will you do that? One day a week for the next month, for the month of June. You can start even this week, make it a month and 2 weeks, and see and watch what God does in your life. My bet is that you will be a better you. My bet is you will make a greater impact at work. You'll get things done quicker. You'll feel better. Your family will like you more, which is awesome. Other people may like you more. But things will get better in your life because of the principle that your Heavenly Father, who loves you so much, says, trust me, rest in me, and take a day off.